Sentient beings are numberless. I vow to save them. Desires are inexhaustible. I vow to end them. The dharmas are boundless. I vow to master them. The Buddha's way is incomparable. I vow to attain it. Good evening, everyone. On Sunday, I introduced you to Layman Pong and some of his teaching and talked a little bit about who he was. I have something else I'd like to read of his, just to give you a little more flavor of who he is. If you weren't here on Sunday, or if you're interested in going over what the Dharma Talk was about on Sunday, it's going out tomorrow as a podcast. As I mentioned, Layman Pong was visited quite often by monks and Zen masters and traveled around also and went to various places and had dialogues with different meditation teachers. So this one is called A Dialogue with a Meditation Teacher, The Message of the Diamond Sutra. The layman dropped in at a temple where a priest was giving a public lecture on the Diamond Sutra. When the priest came to the part that says, "There is no I and there is no other," the layman asked the priest about the part that says, "There is no I and there is no other. Who then is lecturing now and who is listening to it?" The priest did not reply. So the layman said, "I'm only a lay person, but I have a rough idea about the teaching involved." The priest said, "So what are the layman's thoughts about it?" The layman then composed a verse, which he did a lot. He said, "There is no I and there is no other. How can there be intimacy or estrangement? I recommend giving up trying to get there by meditation, but rather directly seizing the reality at hand. The message of the Diamond Sutra is nothing is excluded from our experienced world. From beginning to end, it inevitably exposes our false identities." Upon hearing this verse, the priest was delighted and expressed his gratitude. Wherever the layman went, whether it was a place he frequented or was just passing through, his actions were always appropriate to the situation. He was always unpredictable and spontaneous. So I think this little section gives us a good sense of who Layman Pong was back in ancient China around the year 800. So the message of the Diamond Sutra, I'll read it again, as according to Layman Pong, is nothing is excluded from our experienced world. From beginning to end, it inevitably exposes our false identities. What is the false identity? Selfing. I, me, and mine. The reference point that we see everything from. The first critical mistake, the first step into deluded view, is that thinking you're the center of the universe. So over and over again, we get exposed. And sometimes we think of that as suffering. Other times they're aha moments and we gain some insight and we feel like we've learned something and we're wiser for it. I think those moments are when we're kind of letting go of that being center of universe and reflecting on just what is. What is this? Why is it like this? I don't know about you, but I come up against that a lot. I love the idea of winter retreat. Meditate for several hours a day and work and watch the days come and go, the darkness, the short days, little light. It's really interesting, our tradition of Christmas lights, you know, trying to light up the darkness. You know, some of them are really beautiful. I enjoy driving through my neighborhood most of the time. Tonight, though, I was driving here and it was almost like I was a creature from another planet. And I was seeing all these lights on these trees and funny things on people's houses. There's a person across the street that has red and green snowflakes falling all over his house. As a person from another planet, it sure looks weird. when you're not all bought into it, you know, it's like, what is this weirdness? Why are we doing this? Why do we do anything we do when we're making, you know, not just being present to our lives and doing the best we can with what we have? But we have to make things. We're always having to make things. That's all right. It's the human experience. Holidays have different effects on different people. Personally, I'm a Scrooge. Don't bother me. Go away. Lots of people love it. They get all excited about it, decorate, and you know, good. That's great. I'm glad it brings them some joy and happiness, and they have a good time with it. And there are parts of it that I really enjoy too. I really enjoy the heartfelt sense of community and belonging and sharing our compassion and love with each other. I really adore that. And that's the part of this seasonal experience that we're having that I find really compelling. Stop with the anguish, the anger, and just love each other. Just be present to each other somehow. You know, the gift-giving idea. I think when it's really sincere and honest and not a have to and not a making something out of it, but just a genuine sharing of oneself, wow, what a beautiful thing to do. So there's lots of things about it that are really wonderful when you take it down out of the stress of karma, relationship karma. It's why weddings and funerals are always so interesting. There's always the karma of relationships, figuring it out. You know, where do I belong in this cosmos of family and relationship? But you understand the gist of what I'm saying. You know, this whole thing about relationships around the holidays and caring for each other and letting go of our disagreements and problems that we've had and reaching out. I'm sure we all have those kinds of urges with people that we can't see because of COVID. And when you start dropping all your daily bullshit away and you're just being present to the moment and things rise into your consciousness, pay attention to them, acknowledge them, see what they mean to you, and then, you know, move on. Do something or don't do something about them. But it's not the same in meditation when something arises that you need to take care of as watching the train of thoughts go by. You know, we're not denying anything. We're not trying to stop thinking or feeling or emotion or anything. Zen in particular is not interested in going anywhere. It's like he said, stop trying to get somewhere with meditation, but pay attention to this very experience now.
We closed in our house today.
Congratulations.
So that's good. Yeah. It's funny thinking about the difference between I, you know, self and other. Now, I had this moment where I kind of thought about something like that when I was signing the contracts, where I was going like, and they're very much like going, the seller, and you, and your wife, and you sign here, and you initial here, and you sign here. And it was just like, I was just thinking about like, boy, legally, there really is a self. It's like, it's very confusing. I can't lose too much of it, I guess. I don't have to worry about that. That's a little...
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's funny because from moment to moment, I have the sense of self, it waxes and wanes. Yeah. And it's really funny, like, you know, my sense of being very open to the world, my sense of kind of closing down and being very egocentric. And, you know, I noticed it even today when I was like, for example, like this morning on that app, that website next door, there was a mother who posted about how she holidays are coming up. She's got two young boys. There's nearly no money. Would anybody be willing to help? And my wife was like, jumped to the opportunity to help them. And in my mind, I was very skeptical. I was going like, did you cross-reference this woman? Like, on one hand, right? And then we're going to sign in the house, and we're walking down the street, and there's this like this homeless woman sitting there on the corner, and she's brushing her hair, and she says a thing out. And I'm very like, hello, how are you? Just talking to her, give her some money. And it's like, so with her, I'm very open. But then literally 20 minutes before with this other woman, I'm very closed. It's just, it's, who the hell am I? I don't know. I don't know. I'm both, I guess.
And it's good to pay attention to that, you know? I mean, yeah. There's reasons that you would be skeptical, right? On one hand. But on the other hand, from the Zen perspective, you just give. You just do it. Where this person sees that you're feeling genuinely for them. Whether they're cheating or not, see, that's on them, not on you. So it's not your responsibility for to make them right or wrong. Yours is only to be clear about where you are. But the clearer you are in the moment, the less attached you are to I, me, and mine, the more likely the outcome will be beneficial to you and whoever else you're involved with. So the clearer you can be, the better the outcome. And whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, it's working. At the end of this poem that I just read, it said that Layman Pong, no matter where he was always spontaneous and always doing what needed to be done in the moment. So it was never contrived. It was never according to business. You know what I mean? It was, well, what does this situation call for? You know, without thinking, you know.
Well, no, when I brought up this dichotomy to my wife as we were walking, she said, you know, talking about that woman online, she's like, well, if she's so hard up that she's going to come online and scam people out of presence, then that, I mean, I feel terrible for somebody who's in that situation like that. You know, yeah. My wife, Roshi Barbara, had that very, you know, like very Zen approach to it. I was going like, yeah, you're right. Yeah. You're right.
Don't you love it? Yeah, that's great. Yeah. I think that's why we have good people in our lives to remind us. Oh, yeah. There's another way to look at things.
Well, I'm glad we have one another.
Yeah, I am too. On that note, thank you. And we'll see you whenever, Saturday, Sunday. Be well.